how you used to be. How'd you stand them, Barbara? Think how you used to be, the old man, and what God did for you. Beautiful song, wonderful message in that song too. Glory to God. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 tonight. I'm not sure if I scared folks off or brought them here by my last statement this morning. Remember what my last statement was this morning? I think Joe got scared. My last statement before exiting the stage this morning was, come back tonight at 6 o'clock. There's a great man of God will bring you a word, and that's all I said. So either they knew it was me or they were scared who it was going to be. Galatians chapter 3. I want to talk about the power of grace, the power of His grace. I have before me in my hand, and all of them didn't print because I ran out of ink, 37 pages. Any idea what they might be? 37 pages. The law. 613 rules that people had to live by. I'm going to go through some of them just to read so you'll see the power of grace. 37 pages of law that was set up, and we couldn't keep it. None of us could. So I'm going to go through some of these and just read some of them. I circled quite a few, so hang with me. And these cover from criminal laws to punishment restitution to relationships to just all kinds of stuff. Here's one of the laws. Not to decide a case on the evidence of a single witness. Not to decide in capital cases according to the view of a majority, when those who are for condemnation exceeded only by one, those who are for acquittal. Y'all understood what I even meant? I didn't. Not to favor a great man when trying a case. Not to ask for a bribe. Not to pervert the judgment of strangers or orphans. These are the law. This was the Mosaic law. Never to settle in the land of Egypt, to restore that which was took by robbery, to return lost property. Now tell me we've all returned lost property. There's a $100 bill on the ground. Praise Jesus, it's a miracle. That's what I do. Not to crave something that belongs to another. Not to indulge in evil thoughts and sights. Now listen to this punishment. You think we got it rough now in the criminal system. That the court shall pass sentence of death by decapitation with a sword. That the court shall pass sentence by death of burning with fire. That the court shall pass sentence by death of stoning. To hang the dead body of one who has incurred that penalty. That dead body of an executed criminal shall not remain hanging on the tree overnight. To establish 6 cities of refuge for those who committed accidental homicide. Just for their protection. Just want to go through some of these. They're just very interesting. Not to entice an Israelite to idolatry. Not to practice magic using herbs, stones, and objects that people use. Not to practice the art of casting spells over snakes and scorpions. Must have been something done back then. Not to tattoo the body like an idolater. Not to plant a tree for worship. Not to make a covenant with the 7 Canaanite nations. That's kind of prophetic, isn't it? A man shall not wear women's clothing. Sounds kind of common sense, but today, hey. A woman should not wear man's clothing. Yeah, I get amen on grandma on that. Let's see here. All right, now listen to as a pastor, I've got to go through a few of these, okay? To give half a shekel, which was money, which is quite a bit of money, every year to the sanctuary for provision of public services or sacrifices. To set apart the tithe of the produce, 10%. To tithe your cattle, 10%. To tithe the herd. Not to eat the second tithe of cereals outside Jerusalem. To set apart the second tithe in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the sabbatical cycle to be eaten by its owner in Jerusalem. I mean, think about it. If you got to remember all this stuff and honor all this stuff. To offer up incense twice daily. Not to anoint a stranger with anointing oil. Not to extinguish the fire on the altar. We've done that in this generation. An intoxicated person shall not enter the sanctuary nor give decisions in matters of the law. In other words, a drunk ain't welcome. When the ark is carried, it should be carried on the shoulder. Talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Not to allow, I think this is very prophetic too, not to allow the sanctuary to remain unwatched. It's a law. Not to go to the sanctuary for the festival without bringing an offering. To bring the first fruits to the sanctuary. Not to offer up leaven or honey. Every sacrifice must be salted. Not to offer any unsalted sacrifice. Not to sever completely the head of a fowl. You can't cut a fowl's head off completely. This is all of this 613 laws. I'm just picking a few out here. And I got a point to make with all this. The sacrifice of cattle can only take place when they are at least 8 days old. Now, here's about six, seven in a row. Now, listen to this. Now, you got a great preacher here, okay? The Sunday morning crowd needs to hear this. Thank you very much. But I had a point with that, but thank you. They need to hear this because they would realize how blessed they are not to have to do this. It's all about money. Are y'all ready? This is all law. To offer up the regular sacrifices daily, two lambs. To offer up an additional sacrifice every Shabbat, two lambs. To offer an additional sacrifice every new moon. To bring an additional offering on Shavuot. I'm not pronouncing all these festivals correctly. To offer an additional sacrifice on Rosh. To offer additional sacrifice on Yom Kippur. To offer additional sacrifice on Sukkot. To offer an additional offering on Shemini Azerte, which is a festival. To bring all offerings, whether obligatory, to bring all offerings when you have to and when you don't on the first festival after these were incurred. Not to offer up sacrifices outside the sanctuary. To offer all sacrifices in the sanctuary. All these are part of the Mosaic Law. One law to appoint a king. What did, remember we talked about that not long ago. What did they do? They appointed a king. They broke their law. That the king shall not inquire an excessive number of horses. The king should not take an excessive number of wives. I can know how that, I know where that's coming from. That he should not accumulate an excessive quantity of gold and silver. These are all Mosaic law. These aren't just things to live by. This was their law. Now, a Nazarite, poor Nazarenes, they had a rough life. They couldn't drink wine. They couldn't, you know, cut their hair. They couldn't touch anything unclean. They couldn't touch wine to this extent. Here's how much they couldn't touch wine. This is the Nazarite law. That he shall not eat fresh grapes. He shall not eat dried grapes. He shall not eat kernels of grapes. He shall not eat skins of grapes. All these are Pacific laws. So guess what they can't eat? Grapes of any kind. Now, I love what this law says. This is, I don't know if this is any kind of order or not. I didn't really check that, but this is, we'll say for talking point, Law 598. Those that engage in warfare shall not fear their enemies, nor be panic-stricken by them during battle. Wow. That's a law. You mean you're telling me I can't be afraid? No, you can't be afraid. You don't worry about your enemies. You don't get panicked. You can't be afraid. Not to keep alive any individual of the seven Canaanite nations. Whew. To exterminate the seven Canaanite nations from the land of Israel. And the last one just is, doesn't make any sense to me. Not to destroy any fruit trees. It's a law. There's 613 of these, 37 pages off a printer, of what the Mosaic Law required. Now, can any of us, and I only read a few, keep those? Of course we can't. It's impossible. So grace came. Thank God for grace. Grace came actually, and you may not know this, and maybe you do know this. It's a teachable moment tonight. Grace came before the law. Because when God spoke to Abraham, he said, "It is counted unto you for righteousness." Because Abraham obeyed and honored God. And God declared him righteous. The law did not come for 430 years after that. Abraham was saved by grace 430 years before the law even came on the earth. This is what it means that we are the seed of Abraham and we have this same promise. What's the promise? Grace. This promise is grace. We tend to think the law has always been. It wasn't. Abraham wasn't saved by the law. He was saved by righteousness of God, just by favor of God, saying, "It's counted unto you for righteousness." So what was the purpose of the law? Why did it have to come? Why was it there? It was to point people and direct people to realize they couldn't do it and they couldn't keep it. And it made them search and seek for something deeper and more. It made them realize, God, and I don't know if you've realized this, I have. God, I think Bruce touched on it, we opened. I can't be saved on my own. I can't do it on my own. I can't get there on my own. I mean, my God, if it's up to me to get to heaven, I'd never see it. I wouldn't come close to it. I would be so far away from it, I wouldn't see with the most scientific microscope, I'd be so far from heaven. Because we can't accomplish that within ourselves. So the law made us realize, God, I can't do these things. There's got to be another way to salvation. There has to be another way to be redeemed. God, there has to be another avenue. And there was. And there is. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that came. The power of grace to rescue us from all of these 613 regulations that man had to keep in order to be saved. Now, I'm thankful that grace came. And it makes us very mindful of what could be without grace. And it makes us mindful of thinking, God, thank you that you paid the full penalty of sin for my life. Grace is not something to be just a light word that we use in Christian circles. You know, grace, grace, grace. It's like just a good, cute, nice, Christian, loving word. But we really know what grace is. Grace is this, that I didn't deserve anything, but God gave me everything. That's what grace is. I've got everything. As I sung the song a while ago, one day his image I will bear. How do I bear that image? Not because of what I've done. Not because of works I've sown or money I've given or wives I've kept or not kept or trees I've cut down or not cut down. I am saved. I'll bear that heavenly image and I'm counted righteous because of what Jesus did for me and the price that he paid for me. There is full atonement in the blood. And I want this message to go forth. I want people to get it because people are still, I'm talking about even grace people don't know what it means. Even your grace people will still try to do something to earn that. And we can't. Or we try to out-top someone else with our spirituality. And it means nothing. It's only taking credit away from the one that loved us and that died for us. It is Jesus that gets all the glory and we get none. We become abased that he is exalted. We become down here that he is lifted up. And when we recognize that and realize that and quit trying to think we are more spiritual or religious than someone else, we are missing the mark. All we have to do is point people to him, and he takes care of the rest. You know why people get so frustrated with religion and with church and with spiritual things? It's because everybody is telling how much they got to change and what they got to do different. Instead of just letting God do his work. I'm going to tell you something. When the conviction of the Holy Spirit gets on you, you'll change. You'll change because the one inside of you is changing you. And you'll recognize without nobody having to tell you, you'll live different because of it. When Taylor turned her heart over to God back during our 10-year event, we're in here at this sanctuary. Me, her, and Melanie came in here and we prayed. And I didn't tell Taylor one thing of how she had to live from that moment on. I don't think I told you one thing, did I? I didn't say one thing how you got to live now. I just said, thank God, you're different. You've been changed. You've got God. And I didn't know Taylor that much before. A little bit. We'd had a few conversations, and I could, you know, she was a little different just by what I could feel. But according to mom and dad, she was way different. And even they have said to me, and I want you to know, they told me, man, she has changed. She has really changed. What happened? Grace came to her. I didn't give her a list. Okay, now you're saved. Here's what you must do. No drinking strong wine, which you shouldn't be doing that. No fornication, shouldn't be doing that either. No smoking or shooting up, shouldn't be doing that either. But she knows these things. Why? Because the Spirit of God now is in her, leading her and guiding her. She has truly been changed and transformed. And it takes the power of God to do that. Grace is real and grace is alive. And when we really understand it, you know, we have nothing to do with anything we have. I mean, think about it. Who's going to stand before the face of God and give their resume? Here's what I did for you, God. I preached for 40 years for you. So? I mean, really, when it comes down to salvation, lost or saved, okay? Man, I took up offering for 32 years. I took up offering so long they had to wheel me in a wheelchair down the stairs to get off. I cleaned the church for 42 years. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. And God's saying, hang on. No. Gosh, you didn't do nothing. I did it for you. Man, I stepped in time and I went behind the veil, a place you couldn't go to. I went behind the veil. I ripped the curtain open. I made the way. I opened the door. I spilt my blood. I redeemed you back. I bought you back from death and hell. I rescued you, for I am the Lord thy God, and I alone am holy and worthy of all praise and all glory. I did that. When we can become that humble and recognize that, oh, God will bring the blessing. And God will begin to exalt. And God will begin to lift us up and let people see the light of His love in our lives. But we have too many people that, we're saved by grace, but, no, there's no buts to it. If you add a but to anything, you are wrong. It is Jesus that we are made righteous. He is the only propitiation for our sins, period. There's nothing to add to it. People try to tell me, Pastor, that grace bed, you got to understand, I know, if you've been saved, you're going to live that way. Not always. Sure, you're going to make mistakes, but you're going to live that way. If a person's really been saved, just like your natural stuff, your natural emotions, you know. I got great memories of my grandma and grandpa in the house, and we'd be over there, and poor grandpa, grandma be in the kitchen, she'd be fussing, in her cooking, she'd say stuff, and she would talk, and grandpa would just ignore you, he'd be talking and stuff. She'd be in there talking and still talking, he'd be talking, you know. And you know what? I got memories of that. That's who grandma is. That ain't going to change. I don't care how much she speaks in tongues, that ain't going to change. That's who she is. And I love that about her. I can still hear her saying, Roy. She said it 10 million times. Roy, now Roy, now Roy, now Roy, now Roy. I mean, over, now Roy, that tone, now Roy. I heard that all my life. And Grandpa, I'm not... And he listened. I know, Gladys. I know. Okay, Gladys. Oh, I'm sorry. Like somebody told me years ago, they stayed married 50-some years, said the reason why I learned two words, I'm sorry. That kept us together 50, that's all I learned, I'm sorry. That kept us together 50 years. But you know what? That's who my grandma, just so when we truly have been born again, we are going to produce that. If we're not producing that, there's not been a real change. Because the nature's not been changed. The nature has to be completely. And I see through the years of ministry, you know, when I get discouraged, I start looking at people, or somebody will come to me, or they'll tell me something, and I'll get an encouragement that, you know, man, that life really has been changed. They are really different than they used to be. They have really been transformed by the Lord. Those are the encouraging times, to know someone's really been transformed and been changed. But let's get into Scripture so I can get you. Oh, it's already 7 o'clock. Let's get into Scripture. Read a few verses here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 in Galatians 3. Even as Abraham, now look at this, as Abraham believed God, just believed God. Didn't say he obeyed. It didn't say he kept all the law. Didn't say he did everything right. As Abraham believed God, that's faith. it was accounted to him for righteousness. What this means, God made Abraham righteous, declared him right standing with him because he believed. Not because he kept the law, because he believed in God. Faith. 430 years before the law came. Now look at verse 7. Now it's talking to us today. Now you therefore, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. They that are of faith, that's us, are the same. So what does that mean, we're the same as Abraham? It means we too are accounted for righteousness by faith. Think about this. Abraham did not earn his way by the law. No man has. No man could. God accounted him righteous and declared him his child based on his faith. Because remember what happened with Abraham. God told him to leave, told him to move. He said, leave your country, leave your family, you have your comfort zone, pack your bags, you're moving. Where to? I ain't telling you. Just pack your bags. Can you imagine? He's got his little camel skin Ziploc bag, putting his stuff in there and zipping it up and packing his mules and his people around. Where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. God told me to go. I don't know. He told me, show me as I went. He's going to show me a land. Okay. He probably being talked about, this guy's crazy. He's leaving home, leaving his comfort zone. He don't even know where he's going. He has lost it. But the Bible says that he did what God told him, and he left his comfort zone, and he stepped out into deep waters, and the rest of the story is history. We know what happened. God blessed him, all of his seed, but that's when he became accounted for righteous, not because of the law he kept, because he believed God. He just simply believed God. God, I believe you. I hear you. I'm going to obey. Now look at verse 11. That no man is justified. That means declared righteous. No man is righteous by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for the just, those that are right, shall live by faith. And 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's us, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, what's the curse? Right? That's the curse. The curse was we couldn't get past this. It was like a brick wall. No matter how hard men and women tried, they can never penetrate grace this way. Never. They couldn't get there. Too much. And it was a curse because it kept mankind outside the veil. But when Jesus' blood was spilt, when the blood of Christ was shed for our sins, that veil was rent from top to bottom. And now we have access into the Holy of Holies, not by these 613 rules, but by the grace of God and faith in Him, period. Faith in Him. That's the power of grace. There's faith, period. Saves us. Too many people taking credit for something they don't deserve. Me included. When we get in our self-pity kicks and our whiny trains, let's remind ourselves, you know what? My God, I shouldn't even be here. I was listening to Linda sing Revelation and how she got toward the end. She got stronger and bolder. And I was just sitting there. I mean, you almost sound like you used to sound to me there at the end. Sound normal. I mean, you were strong. And I'm like, the devil tried to silence her voice forever. Silence it forever. You don't think she knows grace saved her life? That she can stand before her church family and lift her hands and sing praise to her God? How God restored a voice that couldn't even talk, that was just a body that was just shattered, a family that was just under such distress. And here she's standing now by the grace of God. What if been somebody else in that Mustang? Would they have died? I don't know. But she didn't. I've seen a lot less accidents with a lot more damage. Death. When she stood up here and she was singing that song, I could hear the strongness and the strength of her voice, and it's like, wow. wow, look what God has done. Look where God has brought her. It's important we remind, like I said last week, we need to remind ourselves of our past victories to build our confidence for future victories. I mean, my God, that trip to Oklahoma changed my life. She went by on that gurney. I didn't know who she was. Bruce had to point her out. I said, that wasn't her. I mean, she was so mangled. I didn't recognize her. It changed my life to see the hand of God upon her and bring her through. So we remind ourselves of our past victories to get us confident that God can do it again. And God can do it for me. God can do it for me. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. This was a curse that kept us outside fellowship with God. It was a curse, and that curse was removed. Kind of the Berlin Wall when it came down. Remember the famous words of Ronald Reagan? What was it? Tear that wall down. Isn't that what he said? Tear that wall down. A wall that kept two people divided completely. A dark nation and a light nation. A good nation and a bad nation. And that wall kept separation. But when the wall came down, the nation came together as one. The veil was rent down. That's what Jesus did for us. We could not get to the good land. We were in the bad land. We were Nazi Germany. And Jesus' wall came down, and we became the good side of Germany. The ones who got the German chocolate cake and the German shepherds and, you know, that kind of stuff. We become part of the good land. That's what God did. The power of grace has set you free. When you try to witness to people, don't give them a bunch of stuff they got to do. Church, they ain't going to listen to you. Think about this. Here's Taylor, 19 years old, or 20 now, right? Okay, so you're still 19. Go try to tell a 19-year-old, hey, I'm talking about an unsaved 19-year-old, hey, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. You can have a brand new life. Okay, great. What do I have to do? Well, that's the bad part. You can't go into bars and party and drink and fornicate and swear and cuss and have no fun. And you got to wear decent clothes, and you can't do certain things with your hair, and you can't get no tattoos and not get any piercings. And let's see, you can't watch any movie past a G movie, and you can't listen to any music but this. You can't do anything but this. What's Taylor going to probably, this 19-year-old probably going to do? Forget that. Wow, really? Are you kidding me? And not that we run a list off like that, but that's kind of our approach. Instead of just saying, give your life to Jesus, he loves you, he's got a plan for you, and he's going to unfold it. Just trust him. Then all of a sudden, God begins to, on the inside, change that person. Because Taylor now is a born-again Christian, he's not going to have those same desires to do things that she used to do. I'm not saying there's not temptation, not saying there's not times, you know. She's 19 years old, I understand that. But now there's a checkpoint. Hang on. That's the old Taylor. Old Taylor bad. Old Taylor go back down. Down, boo-boo. Down. So she gets the old Taylor back down. Has to remind herself, I'm not that person no more. Or the Holy Spirit reminds her, I'm not that person no more. So conviction's good. Conviction is good. Unless it's 20 to life, as I always say. Conviction is good. Because when there's conviction, it means God is stirring something because you're his. Because you're his. Thank God for that conviction. That's his grace too, reminding you you're not that person. So, don't go that way. 613 laws. You can Google this and find it. Just type in Old Testament laws. Take some time to go through. I mean, it's some crazy stuff in there. I mean, just some crazy stuff. 613, and this, the law came after grace. Grace came first. That was God's plan in the beginning, was grace. But he was trying to point people to realize they couldn't achieve it no other way but through him. Just like the children of Israel couldn't cross the Red Sea without him. They couldn't have made it 40 years without him. They couldn't have escaped Pharaoh without him. All the miracles, the plagues without him. God did all of that. God wants us looking into him and him alone. Not ourselves, not our abilities, not what we've done. And not our good kudo, good deeds. There is. I'm going to tell you. We do not. This is so different than what people usually say. We truly, in our humanity, do not go out seeking God. God seeks us. Think about that. God seeks us. We want to do what we want to do. We want to live wild as we can and not get away with it. That's what our flesh wants to do. But God sought us. You know, and I got saved young. My story is a little different. But for a 16-year-old who's never been saved, their goal was to wake up on Monday morning, I want to get saved. I want to serve Jesus. I want to just, Lord, live for you. Not unless God first puts that desire in him or her. Because we don't go out seeking it, man. We want to do what we want. Even as adults, we want to do what we want to do. And the longer people live, I'm telling you, the older generation, I'm talking about the adult generation, my age and older. I mean, there's some wild adults now. No restraints, no morals, living for themselves, trying to be like they're 25 again. Still acting their age. Not old, just acting their age. Mature, responsible. And we see that. I think that's my cue to close up. She said, enough's enough, preacher. See, she got calm when I'm closing. The power of grace. When you put on that new coat, as they sung, you're covered in that grace of God. And man, it's a lot easier to wear that than it ever was the old coat. Oh, it's easier. Because you got God strengthening your life and not yourself anymore. But recent, I encourage you to read some more in that chapter, Galatians 3. It's a great chapter. We just didn't have time to get through it. But I got to my main verses I wanted to read. We're redeemed from the curse. It was a curse, and we don't have that curse anymore. Thank God for that. All right. Anybody got anything you want to add or anything? Any thoughts on that or insights or confirmations? Yeah. Right. That's right. That's a very good point. If you guys sit there and try to pre-plan everything, then you need to wait, because God in the instant will give you what you need to have. It'll just flow out for somebody. It'll just... I think it's where we mess up sometimes, church, is we try to prepare too much. It's just letting God do it. Just letting the Spirit flow. You know, God knew me and how I was. I don't like school. I mean, school was okay, and I got a job, started working, making money, and I realized how much I didn't like school once I started working. And I'm not one that, I'm not a good note taker, never was. I'm not one that can sit and just write. Now, some people love it now. I know preachers, they can write for 4 or 5 hours and write out their sermon and just write and write and write and have pages. That ain't me, church. I'm just too lazy for that. I'm going to be honest with you. So I pray God fill my mouth because my hand don't want to move. So you just fill my mouth. And I thank God for that gift of the Holy Spirit that gives us what we need. Now I prepare. Y'all know I prepare. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to sit out and write my whole sermon now. I mean, some people do, and that's great. Different people have different approaches. But that's not me. I'm like, God, you know what needs to be heard. You let it flow from here. Let it flow from my heart, from my spirit. And it's never wrong when that happens. It always will touch somebody and minister to somebody. So you're right, Don, about that. Just wait and let God use you. And don't think about it so much. Just be spontaneous. Just, you know, God. But you got to be prepared. It's like the Bible says, be instant in season, out of season. Study the word to be approved. You got to be prepared to know what to say. Be prepared with the word, but then just wait on the timing to be able to speak it. So, anyone else? The reason that makes him feel very encouraged to know his song ministered that way. And that was a beautiful song. Beautiful song. That should be all of our testimony. We live for Jesus. All right. All hearts and minds are clear tonight. Break your winter coats out and your sweaters and your turtlenecks and your toboggans. It's going to get cold this week. Might get some frost. Who knows? Might get some snow. Who knows? That'd be great. The kids are out of school tomorrow, I think. So please pray for me and my family. Yeah, you got kids too, I know. Oh, thank you. That's all I needed. We're going to have Dina and Jamie Mullins and their family is coming down next Sunday morning from West Virginia to dedicate Santino. They want us to dedicate their child. He's a little older. They waited to say, she kind of laughs. I know we waited a little bit more of a toddler dedication than a baby dedication, but she wanted us to do that. So they'll be down next Sunday morning, where I'm really excited about it, and to do a baby dedication. So that's like the third or fourth dedication we've done in the last few months. That was me tonight. Yeah, that was me tonight. I think that's what scared everybody. So anyway, well, my prophecy came true, didn't it? Well, let's stay on our feet. We're going to pray. After the prayer, we're going to ask you to bring your offering and tithe. If you have that tonight, bring it up to our offering over here by the giving well, and give that tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for grace. The veil has been rent. Thank you, Lord, that you made a way that we couldn't reach you any other way, and you made that way. You made that way. We didn't make that way. We didn't create that way. We can't do that way. You created a way for us to touch you. Thank you for that power of grace. Let us be humble to realize we have nothing to do with our salvation, Jesus. It is you that gave your life for us. And all we do back is honor you with our lives and serve you. We thank you for that, Lord. Bless each heart in here as we give tonight. I pray you bless the seed that is given. You use the seed and multiply it for your glory, and it be used for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.